So I often imagine Jesus staying at someone's house when Nicodemus comes to the door. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke writes that Jesus was given money and food and shelter by women out of their own pockets. So we know that the person or persons he stayed with were people of means. I like to think of them as the women who ministered to him. Am I okay now? Here. Yes? Okay. I can put my other mic on. So Nicodemus comes to the door. Jesus is just finished a long day of teaching and preaching and healing. He's laid his head down on a bed that is woven rope. And suddenly there's a knock at the door. And he thinks to himself, "Ugh, I do not want to get up. I don't want to find out who's there. I'm tired. I've had enough. Go away." Which reminded me of the parable of the friend at midnight. You know, the fellow who's gone to bed, tucked up, locked the door, his kids are asleep, and the neighbor comes looking for a loaf of bread. And the neighbor and the friend at midnight says, "Go away." Well, I imagine that really Jesus is thinking to whomever is at the door, "Go away. I need to get some sleep. I've got an early start. Those disciples, they can be a handful." But Nicodemus is persistent, and he keeps knocking away, and finally Jesus gets up, throws his feet over the side of the bed, and goes downstairs. He opens the door. And there stands a Pharisee, probably not the person he wanted to see. But this Pharisee has a look on his face that makes Jesus stop and pay attention and lean in a little bit. What could he possibly be asking of me? And we know the interaction that takes place. Nicodemus has questions, and he's hoping that Jesus will have answers. And he only feels brave enough to come in the dark of night because, of course, he is a Pharisee, and the Pharisees are on the fence when it comes to Jesus. Some like him, and some don't. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. Perhaps you have had the same thing happen in your own life. You're sound asleep, and the phone rings. You bolt up because it has to be the middle of the night is only bad news. You grab the phone, and you breathlessly say into it, "Hello?" It could be good news. The baby's been born. Or it could be bad news. There's been a terrible road accident. We need you to come. So that's how I feel Jesus is thinking that night when he finally gets downstairs and answers the door. Is this good news or is it bad news? So when Nicodemus starts asking him questions, he realizes, okay, this is good news. This is good news because someone is paying attention. Someone is inquiring about what I am saying, what I am teaching and preaching. They are paying attention. So I am going to pay attention to what they have to ask. So he and Nicodemus engage in a conversation, and Jesus gives one of those typical Jesus non-answers. You must be born again. Well, what does that mean? I'm already alive. I'm already, you know, I'm 35 years old. My mom is dead. No, you have to be born again. You must come from above. No, I don't get it. Well, who among us here would? And that's why on this Trinity Sunday, we find this day in particular so confusing. We've been through Lent, we've celebrated Easter, we've rejoiced at Pentecost, and now suddenly we get this weird day called Trinity Sunday. Three in one and one in three. We are the only tradition that believes this, even though we concern ourselves or say that we are monotheistic. Other religions look at us and say, no, you're not. If you say one in three and three in one, you're not monotheistic. And then clergy get up into the pulpit and say, well, I really can't tell you because it's a mystery. So then we get down out of the pulpit, and people are no more educated than they were when we started. So I'm here to say, I don't even know what the Trinity means. There are all kinds of theories. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When people refer to the Holy Spirit as a he, I think, well, for crying out loud, no. You got to have a girl in there. So I think that the Holy Spirit is a woman, and I've said this before. Elizabeth Johnson writes in her book, She Who Is, and I know I've said this before, that women are the Holy Spirit in the church because women are the doers. They're the ones in the altar guild, the sacristy, no offense, Tyler. They're the ones that work in the kitchen. They oversee funerals and weddings. They do the work. That's why she believes that women are the Holy Spirit. And I have to say, I agree. That once we start untying the threads of the Trinity, we understand that God is the head, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the one who does all the work. Sound familiar? You'll see that at the reception after the service today. So Nicodemus coming to the door and trying to understand what Jesus is talking about is like us trying to understand the Trinity. We can't, but we don't have to. Because what we do know is that we are stronger together than we are apart. And that is what, in my mind, what the Trinity is all about. Three people are stronger than one. And two people are stronger than one. But we always think in threes. And that's what makes the Trinity worth thinking about. Jane Williams writes that not only is the Trinity about three, it's about God's love. And that God's love is never divided. God's love is always the same and equal for everyone. Where you see people at work, you see God's love. Where you see people having a laugh over a joke, that's God's love. God's love is indivisible, and God's love is ever encompassing and all giving. We may disagree about politics or social ideas, but the one thing I think we can all agree on is that God loves us, each and every one of us, equally. God doesn't play favorites. We may want to believe that because in our world of scarcity, that is how we think. But that's not how God thinks. Williams goes on to write that God will do anything for this world he loves, including coming to himself, the Son, to die for it. To understand this in Jesus' words, born again, to start the world again, learning to walk and speak and think and grow in a world where the love of God is the breath we breathe, so that our every response is formed and informed by love. Today we are celebrating love in this building. We are celebrating two gifted musicians in our presence. Two people who are leaving us far too soon. We wish they could stay. We want them to stay. But we know that nothing in this world is permanent. But we know that what they have imprinted on our hearts and our lives is impermanent. We are so grateful for what they have given us these years. Beautiful music, a good time, and a community. So today we are celebrating Wayne and Trish and all that they have given. They truly are love in action. So please join us after the service downstairs for a reception where we can celebrate them and love on them. And as they say in the South, hug their necks. Amen.